Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Kyle Doherty. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by A2 Biotherapeutics, we have the pleasure of speaking with Diane M. Simeone, MD, and Marwan G. Faki, MD, about the main objective and design of the observational Basecamp 1 study and how it functions alongside the Phase 1-2 Everest 1 study, which is evaluating the autologous CAR T-cell therapy A2B530 in patients with carcinoembryonic antigen-expressing solid tumors that have lost HLA-A02 expression. Dr. Simeone is the Lauren Isaac Perlmutter Professor of Surgery in the Department of Surgery, and a professor of the Department of Pathology at NYU Grossman School of Medicine, as well as the director of the Pancreatic Cancer Center and associate director of translational research at the Perlmutter Cancer Center, all in New York, New York. Dr. Faki is the Judy and Bernard Briskin Distinguished Director of Clinical Research, a professor in the Department of Medical Oncology and Therapeutics Research, the associate director for clinical sciences, the co-director of the Gastrointestinal Cancer Program, Division Chief of GI Medical Oncology, and the medical director of the Judy Bernard Briskin Center for Clinical Research at the City of Hope in Duarte, California. A2B530 was designed using the novel logic-gated T-cell therapy platform TMOD. These agents contain an activating receptor, either a CAR or a T-cell receptor, that recognizes an antigen on the surface of tumor cells. Specifically, it recognizes CEA and an inhibitory receptor, also known as a blocker, based on the LIR1 protein that is designed to enhance the tumor specificity of the agent. The blocker portion of A2B530 leverages loss of heterozygosity of the agent HLA-A02 to prevent the CAR from affecting healthy tissues. Basecamp 1 is a non-interventional screening trial enrolling patients with advanced solid tumors who could be candidates for treatment with A2B530 and Everest 1. Patients must be germline HLA-A02 heterozygous by HLA typing and have confirmed somatic loss of heterozygosity by next-generation sequencing. In Part 1, approximately 1,000 participants will be screened, which will include HLA typing. Then, based on the results of the HLA screening, approximately 500 participants will have next-generation sequencing on their archived tumor tissue samples and be followed for up to 2 years on the study. In Part 2, based on tumor NGS findings, participants will be apheresed for peripheral blood and mononuclear cell collection to store their T-cells for use in Everest 1 upon relapse. After collection, PMBCs will be enriched for T-cells and cryopreserved for future manufacturing of A2B530, with no further genetic testing performed. Archival tumor slides will be obtained for immunohistochemistry. Post-apheresis safety follow-up will last 7 days. Patients who match the specific inclusion criteria of loss of HLA-A02 expression, CEA overexpression, will be eligible for Everest 1. The stored T-cells from Basecamp 1 will be used to manufacture A2B530. Everest 1 is aiming to enroll approximately 160 adult patients with recurrent, unresectable, locally advanced or metastatic solid tumors that express CEA and do not express HLA-A02. Tumor types that will make up the trial include pancreatic, colorectal, and non-small cell lung cancers. In our exclusive interviews, first, Dr. Faki discussed the design of Basecamp 1, including the importance of identifying patients with tumor HLA-A02 loss of heterozygosity, barriers to enrollment, and how eligible patients will progress from Basecamp 1 to Everest 1. What have been some of the barriers to providing effective CAR T-cell therapies in solid tumors previously here?
To start with, it's important to note that there are unmet needs in solid tumors, and most stage 4 solid tumors are not curable. And while we have seen some significant advances with checkpoint inhibitors, the reality is that the cure rate with checkpoint inhibitors remains quite low, and there are many solid tumors where we do not see any significant efficacy for immunotherapy with checkpoint inhibitors. And therefore, there is definitely some interest in getting CAR T in solid tumors. The challenges, however, have been that in contrast with some of the hematological malignancies, you know, solid tumors don't typically have a high expression of tumor-specific antigens that are not expressed on normal tissue. And so when you look at, for example, tumor markers that are expressed in cancer cells, those tumor markers are not necessarily not expressed in normal cells. For example, CEA is a very common antigen that we target. And the challenges have been for us that CEA is also expressed in normal tissue. And therefore, prior CAR-T technologies looking at targeting such tumor antigens have been associated with significant toxicities and have been really, and these toxicities have been an obstacle for developing CAR-Ts. So there have been some really novel ways of going around that, and one of which has been to focus on, you know, targeting, for example, somatic alterations in tumors, and there is work that is being done in that regard. Also more exciting and as exciting would be the development of a TMOD platform where you can target an antigen that is expressed in normal cells, but find a way to prevent that same CAR-T from attacking the normal cell in the event that normal cell expresses the same antigen. So one of the ways of addressing the ubiquitousness of these tumor antigens and their presence in normal cells is to try to figure out a way to inhibit CAR-Ts from attacking normal cells. And one way of doing it is the development of a TMOD platform, which has been developed by A2Bio. And in that specific platform, the CAR-Ts will have both a blocker and an activator. So the blocker receptor binds to an HLA antigen on normal cells. The activator receptor binds to the neoantigen, specifically here in the platform that was developed with A2Bio. The CEA is the first to be tested as an activator. Now, for you to be able to inhibit the CAR-T only by normal cells, that blocker antigen should be expressed only in normal cells and cannot be expressed in tumor tissue. And therefore, the focus in that particular platform is on what we call loss of heterozygosity. And basically what you're trying to do here is to find the tumors or select the patients with the tumors that have lost the expression of the HLA that is the specific antigen blocker for the CAR-T. The initial development will focus on HLA-0201 because that's the most prevalent HLA in patients. And therefore, the TMOD here is looking at an activator antigen, which is CEA, and a blocker antigen, which is HLA-0201. The study will select HLA-0201 positive patients, but to treat them, their tumor should have lost the HLA-0201, and therefore the tumor itself loses the ability to activate the blocker receptor, and on the other hand, has the activator antigen that activates the activator receptor on the CAR-T.
Can you just talk about the study design for Basecamp in conjunction with Everest and kind of what makes this design particularly unique?
Yeah, so the Basecamp trial is really a screening and an apheresis trials to identify the patients who could be candidate down the road for treatment with the TMOD CAR-T that is targeting CEA. As stated earlier, we're focusing on identifying patients with HLA-0201. So the first step in the screening process is to perform HLA typing on these patients, identify those who are HLA-0201 positive. We expect roughly about 30% of the population to be HLA-0201. And then those particular individuals who are harboring an HLA-0201 phenotype and at the same time have specific malignancies that are expected to be CEA producing, such as colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, non-small cell lung cancer, will have their tumors tested for loss of heterozygosity of HLA-0201. Now, the expectation is that somewhere around 15 to 20% of patients will have loss of heterozygosity. So really about 15% to 20% of the 30% of patients who have 0201 will be candidate for apheresis, and that's expected to be somewhere between 5 to 10% of the overall population with these specific tumors. At that point, those patients who are identified to be HLA-A*02:01 positive and at the same time are identified to have loss of heterozygosity will be offered apheresis so that the CAR T can be developed for future treatment. These patients can resume after apheresis treatment with the standard of care therapy that they were on as long as that remains effective in managing their disease. So the advantage of this type of design is that you are really kind of developing the product and storing it for subsequent use, and the physician can decide as to when is the best time to proceed with the therapy with the CAR T at that point.
What qualifies a patient to advance from base camp to Everest, and what does that process look like if they are selected to move to the other trial?
I mean, the first step is really to have an apheresis product, right? And then after that, you know, the patient should still satisfy a certain specific criteria. Number one, you don't want to enroll a patient who is responding to the current therapy and move him to a CAR T treatment at that point. So you have to have some assessment that proves or notes that this patient is no longer benefiting from the standard therapy that he's receiving. There are also multiple other criteria that are related to organ function, fitness of the patient. You really need to know that the patient should be able to tolerate conditioning therapy and CAR T treatment and would have a reasonable chance of cruising through the therapy without major toxicity. So those are liver function tests, for example, performance status, renal function, no other contraindications to treatment or conditioning, typical CAR T therapy inclusion-exclusion criteria.
Are there any safety concerns you guys look out for in the base camp portion specifically?
On the base camp portion, I wouldn't think so because it's really an apheresis study, right? So it's identifying the patients and then harvesting white cells for future treatment. There's really no concerns there. You can stop the chemotherapy for a couple weeks prior to harvesting, prior to the apheresis. After that, the patient can resume treatment. So the concern maybe would be that there is a very short interruption of the treatment, but this is not a protracted interruption of therapy.
Looking at the study as a whole, are there any like kind of challenges you guys are anticipating with the base camp as far as like barriers of entry for patients or maybe problems kind of explaining the criteria to practitioners?
This is a very exciting trial. I think the science is phenomenal. The fact that you can spare normal cells from potential toxicity of CAR T that is shown in vitro is really amazing. So I think most patients have been really very receptive to the pre-screening. The challenge is the, you know, percent of patients that would be eligible for apheresis, right? I mean, you really have to go through a lot of screening to identify the right individual. But I think the potential of this technology is significant and certainly makes it worth it to proceed with this wide screening process to identify the right patient.
Then Dr. Simeone discussed the barriers to managing solid tumors with CAR T-cell agents, how the unique design of A2B530 could overcome these barriers, and the design and potential clinical impact of Everest-1. What are some barriers to effective CAR T-cell therapy in solid tumors?
Well, I think there have been unique challenges in solid tumors, you know, overall access to understanding of the tumor microenvironment. For the tumor that I study, pancreatic cancer, that's been a particular challenge due to difficulty in tissue acquisition. However, I think with increasing analysis of human tumors, in particular with the burgeoning field of single-cell sequencing, we're getting a much more detailed look into the tumor microenvironment of solid tumors, and that is going to help us really drive new technologies and immunotherapy. Of course, also with CAR T, there are advances in the technologic aspects of T-cell preparation, the targeting strategies, the strategies to mitigate off-target effects. And I think it's a combination of these several things coming together that are hopefully poising us to really move CAR T therapy into effectiveness for solid tumors.
What preclinical findings or unmet needs for patients and clinicians led to the initiation of Everest One?
Well, I think the concern for patients is first, if they undergo a tumor resection, if they have recurrence and what therapeutic options might be available to them. As we first built out Basecamp, we studied patients who underwent surgical resection that might be at high risk for recurrence, and that included patients with pancreatic cancer, high-risk colon cancer, and lung cancer. And with those analyses, we looked at HLA status of the patient and HLA status in the tumor. That allowed us to assemble a group of patients that, if they were to develop recurrence, would have a very viable and attractive therapeutic option. Now that Everest is opening at several sites around the country, we can broaden access to patients and basically across a range of tumors, again, pancreas, lung, colon, growing to include ovarian, head and neck, for patients that have the correct HLA subtype, which is HLA-A02, which is the most common HLA subtype in the United States. This really represents a remarkable, option for therapy. Of course, an important second part of qualifying for the trial is to have loss of heterozygosity of the HLA second allele in the tumor, and that allows the CAR T to be very effective in treating the tumors with a high level of selectivity.
Can you just talk a little bit more about the trial design of Everest kind of in conjunction with Basecamp and kind of what makes this design particularly unique?
Well, the design was really crafted to reflect two parts. The foundation, if you will, which is Basecamp, which is to identify patients around the country who qualify for entry in the study. And then Everest, which is actually, the ability to deliver CAR T therapy to selected patients. And we wanted to be quite broad in our approach to identify patients around the country who are eligible with Basecamp, because there are some defining criteria that may not apply to all patients. I know that there is a gradual plan to broaden the HLA subtypes that will be available for this type of therapy. For right now, it's for the right HLA subtype, which is A2, that's going to be about 30% of the U.S. population. And then from there, there's going to just be a subset, and it does vary a little bit by individual tumor, but a subset of patients that have loss of the second HLA allele in their tumor. There is, a funneling effect of who may be eligible, but I do think this is a great first start. And certainly as the approach broadens, there'll be different activators, if you will, or antigens expressed on the cell surface that will broaden the number of patients available. And then importantly, approaches to mitigate the off-target effects so that you can deliver a high payload while mitigating, some of the problematic side effects that have happened with CAR T therapies for patients with solid tumors in the past.
If you could just describe the mechanism of action of A2B 530, the agent in the trial here, and kind of what differentiates it from other CAR T cell therapies.
So I think here the approach is really focused on safety. And there's a number of different elements that are built in, the constructs that are unique to A2. And they obviously spent a lot of time modeling out how to optimize the CAR T generation for effectiveness and validating those results in vitro and in vivo models. Importantly, both a blocker and activator are built in the same construct such that the T cells will only target cells that have loss of HLA. And I think that's a critical component. We have, of course, witnessed very heroic attempts to try to use CAR T in solid tumors, but we have seen that there can be some pretty significant side effects. And I do think that this approach has the ability to deliver a high payload, but mitigate some of these, problematic side effects.
Are there any particular safety concerns investigators are kind of looking out for in this trial with A2B?
Well, I think, it's a new approach. And so I do think we'll take all the learnings from prior, you know, CAR T studies, and the team assembled that will be administering the CAR T and overseeing how the patients do during treatment and afterward are very expert. I myself am a pancreatic cancer surgeon, a clinical trialist, researcher, and so I don't personally have experience treating patients with CAR T therapy. But importantly, we have a very robust team. So we'll have individuals with expertise in the specific diseases that are being treated, and then also on the team expertise in CAR T therapy and all the nuances of executing treatment and mitigating any of the side effects that may occur.
How would you say this trial has the potential to maybe impact the treatment landscape for patients with solid tumors, maybe for you pancreatic cancer patients?
Well, it's interesting. I had a conversation with Will Goh, who is the chief medical officer and trained as a MD, PhD in immunotherapy. I had the conversation with him probably about 4 years ago, where we were talking, and obviously having more effective therapies for pancreatic cancer is really a holy grail. Pancreatic cancer has been particularly recalcitrant to immunotherapy. And I asked Will to reach out to me when he thought that there might be something viable in the IO space that pancreatic cancer patients might be eligible for. He reached out as this concept got developed, and in looking at the pretty compelling preclinical data, the robustness of the scientific strategy, I thought this really had a chance. Of course, the proof is always in the pudding, and we'll have to see what the results are in patients. But I do think that we have the opportunity to provide something very unique to patients. And obviously, our goal is also to learn from patients on trials and to partner the clinical trial with some very robust translational science so we can understand the penetrance of the CAR T cells into the tumor and how that affects patient responses.
What are some future directions for this research, maybe other patient populations, combinations, stuff like that?
Those are important questions that will need to be sorted out. Is this kind of therapy alone sufficient? Will there need to be any sequencing with this kind of therapy? Does prior chemotherapy have any effect on the effectiveness of this therapy? I think we're learning from our single cell work that prior chemotherapy may in fact be immunosuppressive in function. So we may want to give some thought on how we best deploy this therapy. In patients, obviously now it's being deployed in patients who have recurrent metastatic disease. But if there is some signal here, we could think about potential application in the adjuvant setting or even potentially in the neoadjuvant setting. I think these are all open questions that need to be addressed. But importantly, we want to be in a position to learn from every patient that's on the trial and to be address them effectively. You know, I think with this trial and some others that are coming on board, we're in a unique position to really evaluate for the first time pretty compelling approaches in testing CAR T therapy in solid tumors. And I'm very excited for the opportunity to offer this therapy for our patients and really looking forward to seeing how this approach can be best deployed and also for A2 to broaden the portfolio of patients that will be eligible for this treatment by increasing the activator portfolio as along with the HLA subtypes that are eligible for the trial.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by A2 Biotherapeutics. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit OncLive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to OncLive On Air.